We're a year into this now. This week marks a year for us. On March the 11th, Clint Pache called and said, hey, y'all need to think about this. Things are changing quickly in the health situation in Houston, and it may affect the church's plans. And we agreed to get together on Thursday morning, March the 12th, and make a decision about what we should do. Between the time we decided to have that meeting and the meeting itself, on the afternoon of March the 11th, they canceled the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. And that was the wake-up call for us. On March the 10th, we were in our element. Family ministry had all kinds of plans for the summer. Matt had been here for a year, and we were getting ready to kick off really incredible plans for what we would do in adult discipleship in the fall. I was going to go on sabbatical and was really excited about that. And on March the 15th, we started meeting all of a sudden online only for worship. We started having to ask, what is it going to mean to have church when the congregation can't gather here? What will it mean for Sunday school if people can't gather in the same room? What's all that going to mean for the budget? And you were faithful through that. But on a dime, we had to turn and figure out how to make what we've been calling a digital church for months on end. Of course, it's not pandemics alone that make us turn our lives that fast in that way. The pandemic came in like an unwelcome storm, but it's not the only kind of storm that come into our lives. February was a good example of that for us. We thought everything was under control and there were things that we could count on in life, and then they went away from us. But it's not just in the events out there, it's what happens in here. Think about a time in your life when you were in your element. Maybe it was at work, and you were navigating a world that you understood. Or it's in your family, and you were healthy and your family had a rhythm, and suddenly and without warning, everything began to change on that. And the things that you counted on, you couldn't. Things that you thought were solid were disappearing. Systems that you thought were in place weren't working the way you thought, and all of the interventions that you knew how to employ weren't working for you. And there's a real chance that everything could go badly. Can you think about a time like that? For most of us, it doesn't take a lot of thinking. How do you feel in those moments? And where do you turn? Let me ask you this. What difference would it make in the way you experience those seasons, in the decisions you make in those seasons, in the way you relate to those around you in those seasons, if fear were not a part of the equation? We claimed the theme for 2021, hope, healing, and homecoming. We thought that will be the progression of the year. We begin by claiming God's hope for our lives, and then we think about the way that God brings healing to us, and there is going to come a time where we move into homecoming, and hopefully we're calling each other back to campus physically, but also claiming the way that God is gathering us in all the ways he does. And so we're in this season of healing, and we're looking at the healing miracles in Mark's gospel. I've said before, we have to admit we don't understand how miracles happen. That's part of what makes them miracles. We also have to affirm we do know why miracles happen. Miracles happen because what happens to us makes a difference to God. And it is in the heart of God to move heaven and earth for us. This morning, the text we're going to share might not sound like a healing miracle, but if we will heed its message, it has the power to heal us even today. It's in Mark's gospel in the 4th chapter, beginning in the 35th verse. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it there? Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. And there the scripture says, That day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind and bringing Jesus along just as he was in the boat, there were other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke against the side of the boat so that the boat was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a sandbag. And the disciples woke him, and they asked him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." The wind died down and it was completely calm. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified. And they said to one another, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. This body of water is the Sea of Galilee. If you go to Israel someday, and I hope you'll go with us next year, and I hope we go next year in Jerusalem. If you go to the Holy Land, the Sea of Galilee sits in a depression between two hills. And these fast-forming storms come up, and they blow between those hills, and like a funnel, it concentrates the wind so that when it hits the water, it creates these incredibly turbulent waves. In fact, the word used here for squall is the same word that the book of Job uses to describe the tornado from which God speaks. And it's that kind of storm which has hit this little flotilla of boats as they're trying to cross across the water. And the waves are crashing over the sides of the boats, and these expert fishermen who've spent their whole lives on these waters are terrified. And Jesus, he is asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples cry out to him, "Don't you care?" Those are words we understand. Those are words we have called out to God as the storms have raged in our own lives. This is our story now. And the disciples awakened Jesus, and Jesus rebuked the wind and spoke to the waves, "Peace, be still, shh, stop it." And they did. The disciples asked Jesus, "Don't you care?" And then Jesus asked the disciples, "Why don't you trust in God? Don't you know that the one who created us cares for us? Don't you know that the maker of all things is at work mending them? Why are we so afraid?" Because we are afraid, aren't we? I mean, didn't Jesus tell us things were going to work out all right? Hasn't that been our own experience in life? Again and again in life, we find ourselves at the absolute end of our ropes, and then something from somewhere comes our way to us, and we survive it. If we're honest, I think we would all admit that at some point in our lives, every one of us has come up against the breaking point, and then something came to us, and we did not break. Mysteriously, something came across the troubled waters and gave to us, in the moment we needed it the most, the thing that we needed most, but we'd never had before. And we have a new resource and a new resolve to get through. That really has been our experience. Except when it isn't. And some days, the storm seems so great, it feels like the ship is going to sink at any moment. And what then? Several months ago, my friend Barclay Thompson and I were talking about this text. Barclay is the dean at Christ Church Cathedral just up the street. And he offered what for me is the key to unlocking what Jesus really wants us to hear here. Barclay said that so often this text is taught or preached as if Jesus' questions to the disciples were really Jesus trying to get them to see, don't you know God was not going to let our boat get capsized? But that's not what Jesus said. And I don't think that's what Jesus meant. In fact, if you look through the scripture, Jesus doesn't promise everything's going to come out just fine, or even that the ship's going to have an even keel. Jesus lives in the gritty, real world. Jesus lives in the world where the cross is the cost of sin and the measure of his love. And Jesus knows that sometimes the storms really do upend our lives in ways that are beyond us. What Jesus means to convey to his disciples here is, even when the storms sink us, God is with us in the storms, through the storms, no matter what. And that's why Jesus was able to sleep in the stern of the boat as the storm raged around him. By the way, this is the only place in the New Testament where the Bible makes mention that Jesus is sleeping. What Jesus wants us to see here is that God abides with us. When we sail, when we sink, when we have fair sails and following seas, and when the hurricane is blowing around us, God shares our joy and bears our sorrows. John Claypool, like many white children in the South, was raised in large measure by an African-American maid. And among the incredible treasures of wisdom that she planted into his heart and his mind were these. When he was a little boy, she used to tell him, "Now, Johnny, you remember, there is only one God, and nothing else is as big. And ain't nothing going to happen today that you and the Lord together can't handle." That shapes you. When that sinks into you, it changes the way you see the world. The Bible says that Jesus experienced every emotion that comes to any of us. He knew grief and joy. He knew anger and frustration. He knew what it was to want to help someone and to have that help refused. He knew what it was to be in contentious quarrels. He knew the exhilaration of the joy of a party. He knew every emotion that comes to any of us except one. Nowhere in the Gospels does it ever say that Jesus experienced fear. Nowhere is it ever recorded that Jesus recoiled from reality in a sense of panic. Why is that? Because there's only one God, and nothing else is as big. Because there's nothing that's going to happen today that you and the Lord together can't handle. That means there is no storm that is bigger than the God who created heaven and earth. And there is no darkness that can snuff out God's light. There is only one God. Nothing else is as big, and He loves you. And that means that there is nothing that is going to happen today that you and the Lord together can't handle. If we were to ever absorb the miracle that is the love of God, if it ever dawned on us, really, that what happens to us makes a difference to God, if we were to begin to see, if we were to choose to hold fast to those truths in the deepest places of who we are, we would not be afraid. Because no matter how great the storm, no matter how terrible the wind, no matter how frightening the lightning, God is greater, and God is bigger, and God is with us, and God is for